We're back, and hour three at the races. Mary Rampolini is going to join us, and we'll get a little bit more about Oaklawn and the season in general. We haven't talked to Mary because Hammer's there, and but I still feel terrible because you know usually Oaklawn season is Mary Rampolini season. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Oh, there's plenty of Oaklawn for all of us, right?
Absolutely, and there's plenty tomorrow. I mean, this card, I know people, the $1 million Arkansas Derby, and it's been if not the most important Derby prep for really the last little while, it's certainly been heavily influencing, heavily influential on the Derby. Things kind of conspired against the race this year, the way the weather problems and the the incredible Valentine's Day cold and snow, it really kind of wreaked havoc, and it feels like the villain in making this race a little bit narrow in terms of participation.
Yeah, we've got six heads to go, and I think Concert Tour's presence is a big part too, maybe of not everybody wanting to sign on for the Arkansas Derby. And like you said, Steve, the weather pattern here kind of disrupted a little bit of the flow of the traditional preps, and that the Southwest was run a little later. So yeah, there's a few different elements there, but a good field for the Arkansas Derby. And I think, the horse to beat certainly is Concert Tour, but I think there's some other horses that can step up and run well here that are interesting.
Well, flesh it out too. I mean, Caddo River, of course, is the horse that probably is the most important second consideration given the disappointment last time and the attempt to maybe raid him. And Brad Cox addressed it with me earlier this week. There's not going to be any rating Caddo River tomorrow.
They're going to let Caddo River be the boss. Yeah, they're going to let him run his race and see where that places him, like you said, just as Brad has said. And so that's kind of new tactics. And, Peter Miller looks for getter number to be closer this time around. He was farther off the pace than he can be last time in the Rebel, and he's also making his second start off a layoff. So, we should see more speed from that horse get her number. So there's some things changing, and some of these horses second start back off a layoff. So they're moving forward, and so it'll be interesting to see, how they move forward and stack up again against Concert Tour.
I know it's I've been hard pressed leading into this to beat Concert Tour or figure out a way to go against, but if somebody is eager to to find an angle on this group, and even if it's an angle with a third fourth choice, like a Superstock or a getter number, and then of course there's Dallas Stewart, who manages to find a way to get black type for all kinds of his trainees. Last Samurai is going to be the longest shot on the board, and John Court might be riding strictly to get third in here and get a grade one plaudit for the horse. Who knows? But if it's something, if there's something to latch onto, what is it for a price?
Well, yeah, that's a great question, Steve. I guess Hozier is probably not going to be a lot of price, but maybe he gets maybe a little more speed to run at this time around. And he's kind of a horse that's improving, Steve, and he's meant to be a good horse. He's a pioneer of the Nile out of a grade two winning mare. So he's really meant for this type of campaigning and just learning the ropes. He's just had three starts.
Even though it's Baffert and he's coming back out of that Rebel, it's a fair point. Brad Cox and the John Ed Anthony homebred is certainly going to, get their share. Asmussen is going to draw attention. Hozier, even if Hozier is second choice on the morning line, but even if he is, he's going to float. The three of them are going to be, I would imagine, pretty close in price. I mean, from a, you know, looking at figures, certainly they're well matched.
Yes.
You know, and from that standpoint, you know, Caddo River, from a FIG standpoint, is actually on a par with Concert Tour. I mean, Concert Tour has got the pair of 94 buyers, but on you know, from a sheep figure standpoint, he's not appreciably faster than Caddo River. And then Superstock, Hosier, and Get Her Number are all, you know, give or take about 3 points slower. And actually, Last Samurai, the seasonal debut in the Southwest, you know, ran evenly and actually earned a number that puts him close to the, you know, the third, fourth, and fifth choices. So this, and you know, a small field, Mary, invariably, you know, some oddity can happen.
Sure.
You know, a small
sure.
field, big trouble.
Sure, and you know, just one thing to add to your point, just as you kind of ran down things so eloquently, it's interesting if you're a Caddo River fan to note that he was favored over Concert Tour last time in the Rebels, so that's just a thought process as well. So,
the Arkansas Derby, $1 million, Grade One, and 7:41 Eastern Time tomorrow ends the lead up to the Derby and the last of the point scoring races. So we'll be able to have our official list to work off of going from there. Mary, let's work backwards from the feature, and in a lot of ways, the Count Fleet, given Whitmore's presence, as much of a highlight of the day as anything. And, you know, he, as you wrote, looking for a little history, and he certainly should get pace to run at and won't have to be a little closer than he, you know, as he was last time. Doesn't have to be used for positional speed. He can kind of relax and come with his run.
Yeah, this is a great race, Steve, as you said. I mean, Whitmore, the champion in here, is so popular with so many folks for his longevity, his determination, that late kick he's got. He's such a popular horse. CZ Rocket, who got the better of Whitmore last time, is back, shipping back in from California. So you've got that great rematch action. But you've also got the fourth-place finisher from the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and he's going to bring some of that speed that you talked about to give Whitmore maybe a better setup this time around. And so Empire of Gold is starting his season here. He's a fresh horse coming back off a front-running effort in the Breeders' Cup. And then No Parole, who's awesome speed horse, is going to kind of come at him out of the rail. So, yeah, there's a lot of pace in this race and really a nice matchup between Whitmore and CZ Rocket, but also getting a first look at Empire of Gold this year. No Parole's getting back on the dirt. Trainer Tom Amos said they ran him on turf last time because of pedigree reasons. His dam was a turf sprint stakes winner, so they gave him a chance at that. Now he's back on the main track. So, yeah, a really fun group here, as sprinters always are.
Well, and I do want to mention, you mentioned Empire Gold, and I've talked about him really all week because I took a liking to him going into the Breeders' Cup after the huge performance in the Phoenix. But, you know, Hammer was, you know, earlier, Mary, mentioned Mr. Jägermeister, and it's starting to get to be a little bit, you know, a little bit of time between drinks, as they say, and you know, having to go back to last February and the Phoenix Gold Cup. This is his third off the layoff. Any conversation with Valerie about, you know, where Mr. Jägermeister is these days at the age of six?
Well, you know, I haven't talked to her too much about Mr. Jägermeister because I think, like you said, he's kind of been in this position where he's got this champion Whitmore and CZ Rocket that he's going up against in these races here. I did like the race that he ran in the King Cotton a lot. I will say that, and I hope to see him run back to that. And as you mentioned, maybe third start off the layoff, which would be his third start since last August, might be a big race for him. He certainly continued to work well here at Oaklawn.
he's worked really well. And mm-hmm. in fact, you know, even going into the hot springs where, you know, he kind of was attending the pace and then, kind of fell away. One maintenance move since the hot springs, but it is third off the layoff, and he ran a very good second in the hot springs, third off the layoff last year. That we should note that the hot springs did produce, you know, this past March, it did produce Flagstaff, who was third out of that race, to turn around and win the Commonwealth last week.
Yes, right. So yeah, we're already seeing the strength of that race come to fruition, so to speak, which we knew it was strong going in, but it's getting verified on paper. So.
Mary, and that also leads me to a question. Is Boldore okay? Did he get sidelined out of the hot springs?
You know what? I haven't talked to Steve Asmussen about him, but I was very impressed with Strike Power. So I know that the barn is sending out Strike Power here, and I have not followed up on Boulder, but I'm not sure, you know, he was nominated and everything for the race. Just hadn't followed up. I mean, that's certainly a good question, but I know I was really impressed by Strike Power's allowance win here the other day, so it doesn't surprise me that he got the call to come back in this spot. I'm not saying the barn chose one or the other. I'm just saying I was looking for Strike Power to run. So just kind of when you're looking over the noms, he was one that excited me.
Well, the way Boldore won that King Cotton, it felt like that was kind of a statement performance, you know, heading into this sequence. And then he didn't run great in the hot springs. He disappointed there. And actually, I'm just looking. He has not worked. He didn't work back. Now the hot springs was only March 13th. So it's not like there's been a huge period of time. But he's not a. He's a horse that races as opposed to works. So I'll check into the team, the Asmussen team, to find out what might be
going
on. You're
a Boulder fan. I like Boulder. So. Yeah.
Mary, talk about the Oaklawn Mile. This is a nice group.
Yeah, it was exciting. You know, I was calling Brett Calhoun to see if, by my standards, I noticed he was working my come back in the Oaklawn Handicap, and lo and behold, he's going to come back in the Oaklawn Mile, and so this is a really nice horse, a horse that's probably sitting on a big season among older horses this year, and the reason he's turning up here, Brett had said, was basically, you know, he's coming off that layoff, and this is the right distance for him right now. It's not his optimum distance, as he said, but this is the right place to start. With By My Standards, he's probably sitting on a very nice year. But this is a great group, a very competitive group, I thought, Steve.
Well, who did you end up tabbing in here?
Well, as a class handicapper, I'm not going to be able to get past By My Standards. You know, it's over $1.8 million in earnings and grade one placed. But I thought Rushy is a horse that could also step up and do well in here. He's certainly, proven class. He's a grade two winner. He's coming out of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and he's a winner here at Oaklawn. So he's had success here at Oaklawn.
Yeah, and the fun part about this group is that there's enough legitimate pace types to keep things honest in here. I think stylistically, anybody that wants to just run their race is going to get their chance. I mean, between Wells Bayou and Pioneer Spirit, certainly Pioneer Spirit, first off the layoff for Maker, you got to give him a second glance. You got Blackberry Wine, whose best running has come on the lead as well. Looking outside, and I don't know if this is just because John Ed Anthony, is going to be in attendance, but horse on the outside, the Sound,
and
Brad said,
yes.
He said he was running this horse. I mean, this is a stakes debut for the Sound, and he's a horse stretching out that probably prompts the pace as well. I mean, there's honest pace on here.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but then that's another reason I like By My Standards. I think he could get a nice setup. And I should mention it, as you and your listeners are very well aware, this race will end at the 16th pole, And that's kind of another variable to think about when you're looking over this race. So.
No, good point, too. Well, this, I mean, rushy by my standards. May have to look, you know, Gunnett doesn't win too often. He's more of an exotic filler, but he's honest. He's rock solid. And you know what? We went all this way. We didn't mention. It's probably foolish to not include any reference to Dallas Stewart in these settings. But second off the layoff for long range tie, right?
Yep, Dallas can always pop up with something very interesting. And, you know, he's coming here with limited starters and had a good meet. Certainly, Will Cheekit has developed over the meet here for Dallas as a top Kentucky Oaks prospect. So Dallas certainly is coming in and running well in the stakes here at Oaklawn.
I do notice. I just pulled up. I pulled up the PP set at DRF, and the Hammer referenced Sha-Sha Shake Me Up earlier, Mary, and I am intrigued. You made the acquisition, the Peter Miller claimant. You made your best bet of the day in the eighth.
Yes, you know, talking to Peter Miller earlier in the week for work. He had mentioned that he was considering that horse for the Count Fleet. He hadn't made a decision yet, but that was a horse he had under consideration for the Count Fleet. And I just like that he's coming out of that Grade 3 placing. So, again, from a class standpoint, I like that horse, and I like the fact that he was nominated to the Count Fleet, and there was a thought process on potentially running him. So,
should get your thoughts as well on the carousel and some classy fillies and mares in the $750,000 event. Goes as the sixth. It starts the middle pick four, which is races 6, 7, 8, 9, and Edgeway comes back to Oaklawn, which of course last year she made a splashy debut and was actually a resident for the start of her career. Frank's Roquette, of course, out of the Breeders' Cup as well, makes a seasonal debut.
Yeah, this is a great matchup. Certainly Frank's Roquette, you know, multiple Grade 2 winner. She's the more experienced of the two fillies. She's got the better credentials, and she is certainly the horse to beat, in my opinion, in here. She's coming off a stakes win here, coming back in for Frank Fletcher, an Arkansas resident. It's nice to see him have a top filly. Especially one that he bred, that this homebred filly for him coming in here and running so well at his home track. But she certainly is, you know, top-class sprinter. I am a big Edgeway fan. I have liked her a long time, so I'm very excited to see the two of them come together in the carousel to help give me a measuring stick on Edgeway, because I think Frank's Roquette is a great measuring stick. And, you know, Casual is another horse. I know you like Lady Tack a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter, Casual. So, you know, she was second to Kamari last time, and we certainly saw what Kamari
That's
did
true.
Last weekend at Keeneland. So.
You know, I know people get frustrated, Mary, at you know, when, you know, around the country we're dealing with clearly a shortage of elite type, you know, stakes horses. And so these 5, 6 horse stake fields, you know, kind of confound people. But if you're going to have those events, at least, you know, have the kind of quality that is signed on here makes up, you know, to a degree. I mean, this is not, you know, this is not a race you look at and just automatically, you know, just give in to, you know, to an obvious favorite, you know, especially because, you know, coming off the break, and, you know, there's
sure, she's got,
you know, these are classy mares.
Right.
Yeah, the classy fillies and mares.
And, you know, what was nice, Steve, is Oaklawn upped the purse structure for its filly and mare sprint series this year. So this carousel is worth $250,000, which is a nice jump up from, I would say, probably at least $100,000 jump up from normal. So
nice.
they put nice money into this series this year, and that brought Frank's Roquette earlier in the year, and that's bringing Edgeway. So, yeah, like you said, I mean, there's there's, you know, as you talked at the top of the show, the shorter field, but you've got the quality in here that the money's bringing, and you've at least, if you're going to have a shorter field, you like to see, the depth that you see in a race like this, you know. So,
well, the maiden races, and I did talk about the maidens a little bit with Hammer. You got any insights in the group of maiden specials?
Well, I'm glad you asked. There's five on the card, and as you mentioned, a big day for maiden special weights, each worth $93,000. Which is a big deal to get a horse's career started, to run at 93,000. But this is an interesting horse I'm going to mention. I didn't pick this horse on top, but Skip Intro in the seventh is Whitmore's half brother.
Right.
He's coming off a layoff, so that's an interesting horse. I like Global Appeal to maybe steal this race on the front end, and then I thought Star Sailor was interesting coming in. And Macron. So those are kind of horses there. And then Bob Baffert had sent in a maiden as well that was pretty interesting on the card. So, yeah.
Following C.
Those maiden races are fun, so.
Yeah, Following C is the Baffert and Rosario C's Fit to Ride, as we like to say, the 8-horse in the fourth race. But that race does feature the 3-year-old debut of Happy Mac, the Chancelot
yes.
Sibling. And
right.
also, Larry Jones has got Rising Empire, who is a half to Rocketry, who's a little bit more long-winded, but, obviously was a talented talented stake horse. So I also, if you missed it earlier, Frosted Blue in the third, the 3-year-old filly's going 3/4, is a half to Firing Line as well.
A lot of looking to the future, which is always nice towards as the meet winds down, to look and see what we might be watching the rest of the year kind of develop, so we get a first look at them right here on Saturday. Great round of maiden races for sure. Mr. Snickers is another one's out of a Grade One winning mare. So Sis City's baby. So he
yes.
goes in the 13th race. So anyways, race 13.
Yeah, it's a long day, and looking at 7:16 Central Time to close out this 13 race Oaklawn card. It's Arkansas Derby Day. Normally, Mary, we would be packing it in and saying goodbye to everybody leaving Hot Springs, but not anymore. There's still 3 weeks of action to come.
Yeah, and this year, Steve, they've spread this racing festival of the South over the first 3 Saturdays. We've got, the Apple Blossom and Oaklawn Handicap closing out the actual racing festival. So a little different placement, but again, some really, really exciting races with those each worth $1 million.
How are Mary, before we go too, one thing I didn't ask Hammer and I haven't even thought about, free and clear, I think Hammer did mention, free and clear weather-wise, right?
Yes.
A little bit of rain today.
Yeah, it's sunny right now, but yeah, it's supposed to be about 70 degrees Saturday, and the last I looked, it was like 5% chance of rain. The infield's supposed to be open, scheduled to be open, and Oaklawn, which has opened up some more seating by reservation, is actually sold out for the available seats that they offered to be reserved, and then the infield will be available to folks as well. So,
outstanding.
Yeah, it should be a
Well, it closes with a flourish, and in fact, Hammer had some seats for people. The 3 for tomorrow, and then he's got 4 for next week. So Hammer, as he's always done, helping everybody to get to the racetrack. Mary, great to catch up, and everybody, DRF Rampolini on your Twitter feeds. Mary will be out in front of all the stories leading into Arkansas Derby Day and throughout the day. Mary, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. Fun talking with you.
Always. Mary Rampolini, who does such a great job and has to cover literally the widest swath of the country. I mean, Mary covers from New Mexico to Louisiana. It's unbelievable. Nick Tamaro joining us and speaking of that range of the country. Nick, visiting, and we've got some cross country. First of all, Nick, baby good, all squared away?
Yes. Yes, given given a new lease, so I'm good for. I'm like an oil change now, 6 months.
Nick, the cross country continues to be just a maddening project. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, every week it seems there's one or two races that no matter how you approach it, you end up confounded.
Yeah, in fact, last week, of course, you had to have Bourbonic, which, you know, was obviously difficult. You're talking about a 72-1 shot, but, you know, otherwise, you had a couple of pretty short-priced favorites that made a lot of sense. Obviously, Pauline's Pearl in the anchor leg and Search Results a little earlier on. We talked on Friday morning about basically being a free square, and when Sunpath came out of the fantasy, it obviously made Pauline's Pearl a very heavy, deserving heavy favorite. So, you know, this was probably one of the best exercises in ticket structure where, you know, if you had a bit of an ambitious type of approach to the wood, you could have gotten there. And I will admit that had Imprimis won the first leg, I would have had it. It wouldn't have paid, you know, probably a little bit less than it did, but I singled him and I singled Search Results and I ended up using all in the wood just on in a weighted type of style with a few mains and a few backups. I had no idea Kamari was going to go off such a short price, and did when victorious in the Madison, where I was three deep, and then, of course, just used the two logicals in the last. So, you know, not a situation where I felt like I took an overwhelmingly tough beat. I was convinced Imprimis was going to win the first leg, and he got beat in the nose. And it just, you know, it's one of those where hopefully I'm on the right side of that often enough to make up for it.
Well, and to be honest, one thing that not that it was a lesson per se, you know, having to make a decision on a horse that was outposted as bound for nowhere was, but it also feels like one of these things where in any of these in any turf sprint anywhere in the country. You gotta look at where Rosario's landed. That's your first order of business. And even if you think, well, this is going to hurt me from a ticket structure standpoint, it's just foolhardy, it seems, to leave him out.
Yeah, he is by far and away the best turf sprint jockey in the game. And, you know, one of the things that particular race, the Shakertown, showed us once again is that, you know, Joel is kind of a throwback to me in terms of his ability to get horses to relax. And Bound for Nowhere, while admittedly having been ridden for a large part of his career by some lower percentage guys, certainly he's been ridden by some high percentage jockeys, he's a horse that had generally been forwardly placed. But if you would have told me that Bound for Nowhere was going to be two lengths behind Imprimis with a quarter of a mile to go, I mean, I would have asked you to pass the pipe. Right, but Joel is one of those guys that is capable of getting them to a relaxed spot, and I will also say that I don't want to go overboard on the whole they knew stuff, but the public sure had a great idea those Wesley Ward horses were all going to overperform, and that contributed to Kamari going off less than even money and Bound for Nowhere getting bet down to near favoritism in being just a slight second choice behind Imprimis, despite being in the 13 post and looking like he was going to be completely outrun or run off his feet, given the overall pace scenario. But Joel did what Joel is so good at and did it effectively, and that's what really helped him get the job done. And I would hope that both of, obviously, Imprimis and Bound for Nowhere, I'm sure, are destined for another meetup or two down the line now that the turf sprint division has become so defined and robust, even if Bound for Nowhere maybe has some international engagements in the interim.
You know, you and I didn't talk about the other outcomes from the weekend. What was your read on Highly Motivated Essential Quality and the Rock Your World performance? And who do you come away most impressed with on the Derby Watch front?
You know, I feel as if Essential Quality is the kind of horse that I have a tendency to underrate, because he's one of those that you can just throw the perfect trip label onto him, but he's getting those perfect trips because he's fast, he's tactical, he's handy, and those kind of horses generally fare very, very well in the Kentucky Derby. So, I mean, at this point, barring a very strong performance by Concert Tour tomorrow, I would imagine Essential Quality is deserving of 7-2 in that range. This is a crop where a lot of the major players are now not on the Derby trail anymore, but he's very, very good. And Luis Saez seems to fit him very well, because I've always considered Saez to be a guy that's better when he's on a horse that's in the front half of the field.
Yes.
And I think Essential Quality ultimately wants to be there. So I thought he ran very well. I thought Highly Motivated ran very well. Also, boy, he looks a lot like Practical Joke, right? It just, maybe with a little bit more speed, feels like he's really going to be most effective with a cutback. That being said, they're obligated to try the Derby. You can't take the defending two-year-old champion right to the wire and then pass the Derby. But I would certainly, if somebody wanted to offer me a future book on the Alan Jerkins, I'd be betting Highly Motivated with both fists. To be honest, I texted some friends of mine and said, I would love to bet Highly Motivated in the Woody Stevens off of a mid-pack type of trip in the Kentucky Derby. So I thought... You know, I thought they both did very well. Rock Your World is a super interesting horse. And, you know, the whispers about John Sadler not being able to win outside of California have generally been quieted. You know, he's changed his operation to an extent and obviously has horses that are based elsewhere. That's going to always help the most. I thought Rock Your World ran an exceptionally strong race. Obviously, from a buyer speed figure perspective, it was the best race that a three-year-old has run outside of Life is Good. I don't know if that necessarily means that Rock Your World is any better than a lot of the horses in his generation. I also wonder if his running style is going to make him effective in the Kentucky Derby, but there's no doubt that Rock Your World has a ton of talent and should find himself in a pretty comfortable position. I feel like he would be best served by an outside post and maybe being forced into stalking, but it'll be interesting to see how Caddo River and Concert Tour perform tomorrow. Caddo River has a chance to be a real X factor in this Derby, given that he's basically one-way speed, and he could be used to be sent to the front in both of these two races coming up. Panadol, who we're hearing about coming from the UAE, who was second in the UAE Derby, is a horse with a lot of early speed. It's international speed, but he looks like a horse that can be forwardly placed. And there are enough front runners otherwise that should ensure that it's a pretty honestly run race. And, you know, I thought we came out of the weekend concluding a lot of what we already knew, which is that Essential Quality at this point is at the head of the class, and somebody will have to dethrone him along the way to becoming the favorite. I don't think that'll happen tomorrow. Like I said, barring a, you know, Bodemeister-like win by Concert Tour where he maybe earns a 105 buyer speed figure, I would never put that out of the realm of possibility. But at this point, it looks like the principals have all done good work up to here, and they're going to be expected to moving forward.
I appreciate it, and of course we'll be diving into it as we get closer. And you made reference to the Arkansas Derby. Let's make a run quickly through the pick five, and it goes Aqueduct 7, Keeneland 8, Aqueduct 8, Keeneland 9, Oaklawn 9th, which is that well-balanced Oaklawn mile. And frankly, the two races in New York, Nick, are very interesting. I will get to the Danger's Hour in a minute, but this first level allowance going a mile on the main track, this is okay. There's some quality type horses in here. Who do we have to use?
Yeah, it's a tough race. The interesting thing about it is, you know, David Aragona has installed Yankee Division as the 8-5 favorite. And I mean, I don't think David did anything wrong there at all. I disagree with David that RM will be the second choice. I think that Malibu Star will be a very clear second choice. But Yankee Division has had two very, very strong performances of late, but I can't even begin to tell you how skeptically you should view those, because they both came with an inside trip on tracks where the rail was very strong, especially back on February 13th. Last time out, maybe not quite as much. He was run down by Mystic Knight, who was very impressive in winning that day and is likely headed for graded stake races. But Yankee Division is not going to get that cupcake trip that he's gotten of late. And I would imagine that between Annan Road and potentially Malibu Star, they're going to make his path to the front end a little bit more difficult. I'm going to use two A's in here. I'm going to use the 3 and 5. I like Malibu Star, who was 3 to 4 wide much of the way last time on a track where the inside was very, very strong. I thought he stayed on very well. I don't know what happened in the mile and an eighth race back in late January. He didn't break well. He got put in the middle of the track by Eric Consell and just sort of went through the motions. But the fact that he erased the bad memory of that so quickly coming back in February, I thought was encouraging. I liked Family Biz in the Peeping Tom last time. He underperformed, but that track was so tilted towards front-end runners. There was nobody that made a reasonable off-the-pace move all day, regardless of the pace scenario. And I thought Family Biz faced a double whammy of a speed-bias track and a situation where he didn't really get much pace in front of him. I think he's most effective at a mile as well. I'm hoping that Annan Road and Arum push Yankee Division, and that sets it up for those two. I'll use Yankee Division, of course, as a backup, and probably a little bit of Arum as well.
The one horse that you didn't mention that I at least want to note in here, the 2, 8 to 1 Texas Swing, and of course if we rolled the clock back for this 4-year-old Curlin, he would have made the Derby somehow. He would have won the Tampa Bay Derby the way things have gone for Todd. But this is actually a horse that is not without talent and hasn't been seen since the Saratoga return, has certainly been working steadily at Palm Beach Downs. And if he comes back and runs his A race, he's a nibbler in here.
Yeah, I don't disagree. He has to run back to his best two races, which both came at Tampa. Todd is excellent off the layoff. He looks to be training forwardly. I'll be interested to see how he's ridden in the opening furlong. He ran into a pretty tough bunch at Saratoga in late August. That was back when Orlando Noda won every race in sight. Of course, now he couldn't win a one-horse race, which is why most of us were so skeptical when that was going on. So I would not blame anybody for including him, but he's going to have to come back with his running shoes on. We'll see where he fits with these, because I do think this is it's a tougher than par, one other than allowance race.
3-5 as your A's and the 7-8 as BC's, depending on your budget. We'll do New York, New York, Kentucky, Kentucky, Oaklawn. The Danger's Hour. This is a nice group, and of course, Decorated Invader, who now has 3 dents in the fender, going back to last year, makes a seasonal debut in here, and as does Analyze It for Chad. Delaware has got to be noted, the now 5-year-old. And I thought case could be made for Rinaldi in here, who's going to try to do it on the front end.
Yeah, good bunch came together. It's actually a meeting of two of the more overrated horses we've seen in recent years, Analyze It and Decorated Invader. And Decorated Invader probably is one you'd want to malign a little bit more, because he never really accomplished all that much to be overrated. But Analyze It actually was an exceptional 2-year-old into early in his 3-year-old season, and somehow just couldn't figure out Catholic Boy. But let me tell you, Analyze It, one of the more misunderstood performances you'll ever see. People thought Analyze It ran poorly in the Secretariat. He ran in what will end up being the last mile and a quarter Secretariat. He ran so well that day. He just lost to a big long shot. But that was an exceptionally fast pace. He was on top of it the whole way. Looked like he had put them away and then got caught late. He ran very, very well. I don't want to hold the Shadwell against him. And then, boy, did I need him in the Breeders' Cup mile, where he was a little too close to that heavy inside, but still ran an excellent race. You know, if he comes back with the type of effort he put forth in the Red Bank, then it's all over but the shouting. I mean, they won't touch him. And he should get a good trip stalking outside of Rinaldi. I will say that that I thought Decorated Invader was probably a little bit, he's definitely a win candidate, but once they sort of, once he took that first punch and lost the Saratoga Derby, it was like, okay, this horse really isn't what we thought. And he ended the season, I thought, sort of in an average way. I imagine that to an extent, Christophe Clément is probably trying to figure out where this horse stands and whether he's going to even be a grade one caliber miler, or is this going to be more like a Red Bank and poker type of horse that's a little bit more behind the scenes. I think Analyze It is probably pretty close to a single for a lot of people. I agree with you on Rinaldi. I don't know if Rinaldi will be ready to win this race off the bench. Generally, Jimmy Bond horses need a little bit more time. I also thought Price Talk was an interesting price horse. He's going to have to run better But I think that Jorge Abreu has done very, very well the last 8 months or so. He had a nice first-time starter win yesterday. This is a horse, of course, that was DQ'd on opening day of last year's Saratoga meet. He's got a little bit of upside. He's going to have to elevate his game, no doubt about it. But I think you could do worse and include him at, you know, 8 or 10 to 1.
So small budgets leaning heavily on Analyze It, you think?
Yeah, small budget, single to seven. I think backups are something like 2, 3, 4, maybe a little bit of the 9. If you think that Hieronymus could be ready off the long layoff, I don't know. He looked like kind of a takeout killer to me.
Those are the A legs and C legs. Let's look at the B and D, and they are at Keeneland. The 8th is the Giants Causeway. Here's another one of these maddening Keeneland turf sprints.
Yeah, and, you know, this one, of course, is the sister race, so to speak, of the Shakertown, and Wesley Ward is very well represented. This does not have the same kind of pace scenario that the Shakertown did. It looks to me as if, depending on how aggressively Carrick is ridden, and Johnny Velasquez is not the type that's usually an all-out send, he's comfortable kind of stalking outside. It looked to me like Elsie was going to clear this field. And I don't know if that's enough for her to win, but boy, the last time we saw her at Keeneland, she was an awfully impressive winner at 47-1. So she factors in very prominently in anything that I'm going to do. I thought that basically all of the Wesley Ward participation you had to recognize, which consists of Carrick mainly, and I thought you had to include her. I don't know why I was thinking he had another horse in here. I was confusing another trainer for him. Jakarta is an interesting horse on the outside. She's been effective sprinting in the past. I don't know if maybe going from route to sprint is going to dull her speed a little bit. I think it might press her into a little bit more of a stalking type of trip. I like Change of Control as well. I thought she ran well at Sam Houston, two back. She actually had a chance to win that race, I think, and having to stay inside worked against her. This is a spread race for me. I really didn't have a strong opinion. I've talked about 5 different horses and not mentioned Into Mystic, and that's mainly because I fear that Into Mystic is not going to get the best of trips from the inside. That being said, she simply run much too well, especially at Keeneland, to be excluded. So it's a situation where, I mean, my A horses are going to be probably 1, 3, 7, 8, and I'm going to back up at the very least with the 2, 4, 6, and 10.
I like the 2 in good spirits.
I think she's dangerous. You know, Al Stahl is, she looks a little bit like Delica in that, you know, he finally settled on what Delica wanted to do, and then she ended up being good going long, right? So it's kind of funny, but yeah, she's a solid horse and one that seems to run a race every time.
Let's go to the 4th leg, and in here we've got the Lexington crowd that is proxy, and you know, an interesting scenario for Godolphin. Very well could end up contesting Derby, but this is the first order of business. And then there are some interesting prices to consider in here, Nick, and I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah, boy, Proxy looks like a horse that would really benefit from maybe skipping the Derby, depending on what happens tomorrow, and looking at the Preakness or Belmont. But Godolphin already has representation for the Belmont with Rebel's Romance, the UAE Derby winner. Yeah, what you said is exactly right. Proxy's clearly the horse to beat. He's just a lot faster than these horses. I wanted to try one goofball horse as a compliment to him, which was Hockey Dad, who I thought ran an improved race in the Jeff Ruby Stakes. He's going to have to run a lot faster relative to his other dirt races to be effective in here, but he's going to be a decent enough price. And boy, Steve, it feels like they should really fly on the front end. I don't know if Noble Reflection will be kept up with in the opening stages. I don't know if you don't put Irad on Swift Sure because you want to get into a pace duel. You kind of want to figure out whether he can get him to relax a little bit. The question will be if Bezos and It's My House push Noble Reflection, and that will ensure a very fast early pace, which to me really helps the likes of Proxy and Hockey Dad, and I mean, maybe to a lesser extent, a horse like King Fury, who showed some ability as a 2-year-old, then really got thrown into the deep end of the pool in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, coming back in just basically a week and a half. I could see a scenario in which he runs a little bit better, but it ultimately will boil down to me for the 6 and 7, and I'll use the 2, 3, and 5 as backups.
6 and 7 with the 2, 3, 5 as backups. And I will mention, I reached out to Marcus Hirsch to do some game plan handicapping, and he's tied up. But I did ask him, who's your fun horse for the weekend? He thought that Noble Reflection, if he isn't corralled early, that at 15-1 he was worth a flyer. So that for what it's worth, that was one of Marcus's price play for tomorrow. Let's go to the anchor leg, Nick, of this cross country, and it's the ninth at Oaklawn. It's the Oaklawn Mile, which, really in a lot of ways, the Count Fleet is going to be fun, but this is the most interesting race on that stake card at Oaklawn.
No question about it. It is the most interesting stake by far. Right. We'll enjoy seeing the outcome of the Count Fleet, but from a betting perspective, it's really not that interesting. There are a few horses, of course, this being a two-turn mile makes it a little bit different race than you'd see if they were going around the one turn. By My Standards is going to be favored in here based on what he's done in the past. And, when you really begin to pick apart what By My Standards did last year, it was basically all sort of a carbon copy of the same race, which was him stalking outside on a slow pace, being able to take over and kick clear. And when he didn't get to do that, that's when things really started to go the wrong direction. You don't want to hold the Breeders' Cup Classic against him, but boy, was he awful in the Clark. And that was really almost inexplicably bad. So I don't have a great amount of confidence that he's going to come back off this layoff ready to run. It's been a really quiet 2021 so far for Brett Calhoun. He actually didn't even have a particularly strong Sam Houston meet, and he's just 1-for-21 at Oaklawn. I wanted to use him, but to use a few other horses prominently as alternatives. I like Rushy, and I think that Rosario is a great fit for Rushy going back to the mile and a 16th race that he ran at Oaklawn last year. I don't think the two turns is a problem at all, even though he might be a little bit more effective around one turn. He's going to get a good trip just off the pace, and again, this is a situation where Rosario is going to get a horse to relax, because it looks like there should be plenty of speed. I don't imagine that Mike Maker claimed a Pioneer Spirit so that he could turn him into a horse that didn't show speed, and the Sound is stretching out after showing a lot of speed in his two prior starts, the consecutive wins. Home Base has speed. The speed of the race really is Blackberry Wine, who has early foot, and Wells Bayou has speed. So they should really cook in here. I think that's going to help Rushy. It should, to an extent, help By My Standards. I'm going to use those two mainly, and see if I can just get out of it, use a smattering of backups, including, I'm going to use the Sound, obviously use the Wells Bayou and Gun It, but it's mainly for me the 4 and 6.
With a little 2, 3, 9. So the A's for everybody, a very simple budget ticket, 3, 5, with 1, 3, 7, 8, with 7, with 6, 7, with 4, 6. Very austere if you want to do it that way, and I'll put the pen to paper and lay it out for everybody with Nick's approval. And Nick, I appreciate the opportunity to get in with you today, and we'll wish you a good weekend and talk next week.
Sounds good, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Nick Tamaro, everybody, and Tam, NTAMM 1215. We got about 5 minutes to close out the morning, and Papo Morales standing by, fresh off of yesterday's Twitch broadcast. And Papo, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
How'd it go yesterday? Once again, Tina and I were doing something. We were at the bathroom fixture place, whatever, redoing the main the closet and bathroom. So I once again I wasn't able to enjoy it.
That's okay, Steve. You got priorities, you gotta keep the wife happy. Yeah, it went well yesterday. We did a little bit of Hong Kong recap, since Formula One had a good day yesterday at Hong Kong, and then we talked a little bit about Keeneland today, mainly the Maker's Mark Mile.
Excellent. And, I really applaud the guys that have downloaded formtowin.com, download the app, and they, frankly, they found Hong Kong without our prodding. And so now they're the engine on the train, and particularly fun yesterday during, you know, daylight hours, as it were. And they were dialing up winners. You were as well. And it was a, you know, we tried to get one with Dick Powell yesterday, but clearly the kind of PPs and, you know, the regularity with which those horses are running, the form to win calculations are really helpful and accurate.
Yeah, when you have a good data set to work with, you can really fine tune it, and you know, you can use the filters also to kind of drill the data down. So it's successful so far, Steve.
Well, the weekend, you mentioned Maker's Mark. How about a quick Maker's Mark play before any of the Saturday action?
Sure, Rob. On the Maker's Mark, I'm going to kind of key off right a comment. But the horse on form to win that fit, that I didn't have a mark on, that may be worth a reverse try key, is the 7 Flying Scotsman at 30-1.
Wow.
With Lannery for Jack Sisterson, 4-7 at the distance. Likes a little give on the turf, and I just checked the rating at Keeneland for the turf, and it is rated good with the measuring stick. So I'll try to get that horse into Deep Exotics up underneath, but I'm going to try to key off Cassie here, Steve.
I put Cassie on top as well, but obviously it's a competitive group, and then you deal with, you know, the layoff horses from the pair each from Chad Brown and from Mike Maker kind of adds to the intrigue. How about Saturday? What have you pointed toward with form to win?
Oh, just kind of looked at that late pick 5 at Keeneland. You know, that turf sprint, the Giants Causeway. I will say, Steve, that we're here in Louisville and Lexington. We have a 90% chance of rain tomorrow. So factor that in when you're doing your handicapping. And if you're using form to win, you know, with the click of a button, you can just look at the form that's on turf rated good or yielding or soft, or even an off track that happens to be on the main track. But, you know, the 5.5 furlong Giants Causeway, I mean, I think you have to use the 1. The 3 is interesting. It's also Jakarta. But the horse that form to win said that fit that I didn't have a mark on was the number 4. Dixie Candyland
for Eddie Keneally. Yep.
Yeah, so fits on form to win, and I didn't have a mark on that horse initially, so I'm going to have to pull her into the mix, and then we just move on to the, and we could talk about the Lexington limited data set. I'm going to try to speak by, I mean, Foxy's the horse to beat. I'm a little intrigued by the 2, Switzer for Asmussen, who proved he could rate last time out. I know he's going 2 turns for the first time, but I find this is an interesting move. And I haven't really given up on staring in my dream, so I'm going to go back to him. Third start off the layoff, and if the track comes up sloppy, he's won in the slop before, Steve. So that's how I'll play the Lexington, and then the Jenny Wiley. There's really no pace in this race, Steve. So would not be surprised if Juliet Foxtrot tries the wire. And if she gets mowed down late, I'm actually going to go with Michelin. So I'll try to sweep by with those two there, Steve.
The 1 and the 3. There you go. And frankly, we're probably a little hamstrung when it comes to that that nightcap, you know, given how lightly raced everybody is.
Yeah, I mean, I made a mark on the 3, 6-pack for Lynn Catalano.
Interesting.
Gary and Mary West, homebred.
Yeah.
Looks like it has some potential, so I'll include her along with some others.
PopoCore1, everybody, on Twitter from AmWager, of course, and formtowin.com. Download 2 free races a day, and we're going to keep teaching you until you're comfortable. And Popo, good luck this weekend. Talk probably Tuesday.
Thanks, Steve. You have a great weekend.
I didn't get a chance to mention Prince Philip's passing, and thoughts to the Queen and the royal family. He was a tremendous equestrian. We'll get something in next week. Good luck, everybody. Talk to you Monday.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.